Morning of today's Daf and Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Aleph. We are on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to begin this morning about 15 lines from the bottom with the words Ditanya. Actually, go back one line before that. Rami de Rabbanan de Rabbanan, Rami de Rav Yossi, de Rav Yossi. A stira between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. Let's get our bearings. The Gemara yesterday spoke about Gram Kivui. What happens on Shabbos if I'm not extinguishing, but rather causing extinguishing, an indirect activity which allows for extinguishing to happen. For example, as the Gemara said yesterday, you have a fire that catches and it's starting to spread, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some liquid, some water on the other side of the item so that as the fire now starts moving along, it's going to be impeded by the water. So, and probably it's going to go out. And under those circumstances, is one violation of any kind of Isser. So, the Gemara yesterday brought down a Mishnah and Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph and Machlokes between Rav Shimon ben Ananas and Rav Yosef. Rav Shimon ben Ananas says that one is allowed to impede the progress of a fire, even if it means you're going to end up putting out the fire. The example that he gave in the Mishnah is that Or Shogadi, you put a hide on a chest. The chest is on fire, wooden chest. And you're putting on the hide on the part that is not burning. And as the fire now goes across, it's going to hit the hide. Rashi points out yesterday in the Mishnah, the hide is moist. And it's going to put out the fire, and that is indirect. And Rav Shimon ben Ananas is fine with that. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, says no. If you want to put a wall to stop the fire from spreading any further, that's fine. But if, let's say, for example, according to Rav Yossi, any of the utensils that you're using is filled with water, and it's going to break, and the water is going to put out the fire, so that's not fine. Or to put all this in much simpler terms, more succinctly, so according to Rav Shimon ben Ananas of our Mishnah, Gram Kivui would be mutter, and according to Rav Yossi, Gram Kivui would be aser. Okay. And from this point going forward, we're just going to say it's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. Even though in the Mishnah identified the Tanakam as being Rav Shimon ben Ananas, but we are just simply going to say the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. So the way the Shitas line up is that the Chachamim are acceptable of Gram Kivui, and Rav Yossi is not acceptable of Gram Kivui. That is the point that we arrived at yesterday. And now we're just going to pick it up right where we left off, and that is Rami Durabanan Durabanan, Rami Durav Yossi Ad Durav Yossi. And what we have now seemingly is a stira between both those shitas, detained because we have a brisa. Now this brisa is no longer talking about Shabbos, and is no longer talking about the Isser of Gram Kivui, but it's talking about another kind of grama. Hareshayashem Kasav Lo Abasaro. Person has the name of Akash Baruch Hu written on his skin. Okay, how he got there? Not important right now, but he has Shem Hashem written on his skin. So now with Shem Hashem on his skin, so he cannot wash it because that would be erasing Shem Hashem, which is an issue in the Torah. Can't put oil on it because that's also going to erase it. Can't stand in a dirty place. Now what happens if there's an opportunity where he has to tovel in the mikvah? He's going to wrap a reed around it, and he's going to go into the mikvah with the reed wrapped around it. At this point in time, we think the purpose of wrapping the reed around is because if you don't have the reed wrapped around, so it's going to erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so even though you're not erasing it directly by going into the mikvah, it's indirect, nevertheless, it's going to be a problem. Therefore, a reed needs to be wrapped around it. At this point in time, that's our thinking. If that thinking is correct, that means that in this brisa, the Chacham's viewpoint is that Gram Kivui is going to be Aser. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Amar Lo Olam Yored V'Tova Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says, go into the mikvah, Uvavad Shalei Shafshe. If you can't rub the area where Shem Hashem is written, but what you're allowed to do is just simply go into the mikvah, and if it happens to get erased, that's happening not actively, but rather indirectly, and that would be fine. And so now, as you probably discovered, so we have over here a mirror image of the positions that we saw regarding Shabbos. By Gram Kivui, by Shabbos, Rav Yossi says it's Aser. The Chachamim say it's Mutter. And meanwhile, here in Mechika Shem Hashem, in the erasing of the name of Hashem, so the Chachamim say that Gram Kivui is Aser, and Rav Yossi says it's Mutter. At least that's what we think right now as the positions are presented to us. And that means Astira in both the Shita of the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. Shani Hasim Damakravi about a temeshmam and Amakabahula Sasan Kenla Hashem Elokechem. So the Gemara says, first of all, the Isser in the Torah. The Isser in the Torah of erasing Hashem's name is based on the Pasuk. The Ibadatem Mishmam and Emakamahu, you have to knock out, you have to totally obliterate all the Avodah Zarah. And then the Torah says, but lo sasun kein l'Hashem l'kechem, but you can't do that with Hashem. And over here we mean Shem Hashem. Now looking carefully at the wording of the Pasuk, lo sasun, the word Asiyah, and the Gemara picks up on that. Asiyah Huda Asar Grama Shari, that only directly erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is an Isser, Grama indirect is going to be Mutter. So Ihachi Hachanami, so the Gemara says, well, that's interesting, because by Shabbos, we also have the same kind of verbiage. So why don't we say the same thing regarding Shabbos? Not only why don't we do say the same thing regarding Shabbos, that Grama should be Mutter. So the Gemara's response is, Mitoch She'adam Balam Amono, Yisheri Se'asi Lichbuye, the Gemara says, fine. But remember, by Shabbos, what we have also is the consideration that if, in fact, we allow the person some strategy in terms of how to put out the fire, so that means to say now that his mind is going to be attentive to putting out the fire, he's going to forget the fact that it's Shabbos, and he's going to put out the fire not indirectly, but rather directly. So the Gemara says that at this point in time now, what we're suggesting is that really Grama's Mutter by Mechikas Hashem, because of the word Asiyah, Grama's Mutter by Shabbos, because the Torah says the word Asiyah. On the other hand, by Shabbos, there's a counter consideration that if we allow for Grama, it'll lead a person to get a little bit crazy over his money, and he's going to want to then put out the fire. So even though Grama in itself is Mutter, but the Chacham put in a safeguard. So the Gemara says, Yihachi Kashi Derabbanan Derabbanan. So the Gemara says, fine. So then I can understand Rav Yossi, on one hand, by Mechikas Shem being Mutter, being Mekel, and by Shabbos being Machmer because of this consideration of Adam Bala Mamona. But it doesn't help me in terms of understanding the sheet of the Chachamim. So, the Gemara says, because look, consider, if by Shabbos the Chachamim or Mekel by Gram Kivui, so then by Mechikas Shem, where there's no consideration of Adam Bahul, so then for sure the Chachamim should be Mekel. So the Gemara says, so even as we attempt to answer the question, we're maybe halfway there, but there's no way that at this point we understand the discrepancy between the Shittas of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Vitizbra. So the Gemara says, okay, at this point in time now, we're going to have to take a step backwards. Because we're going to really have to reconsider our understanding of the Machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim on the topic of Mechikas Hashem. So, Hai Nami, Hechidami. So the Gemara says, look, let's think about what the Chachamim strategize. And that is that if you have Shem Hashem written on your skin, so in order to go into the mikvah, you have to wrap a reed around it. The Gemara says, why is that? Now again, up until now, we think it has something to do with the fact that you're trying to prevent the erasure of Shem Hashem. But the Gemara says, but the more you think about it, the more you realize that can't be it. Because if you tie the reed on really tight around your skin, so that means to say that no water is penetrating, and that, of course, is a chatzitza, and then your tefillah is not going to work. And if you're not tying it tightly, so then water is going to go in, so then what was the point to begin with? If the whole point is putting the reed on in order to make sure that no water gets there, well, that's a chatzitza. And if you're tying it loosely, so then water is going to get there. So what did that gain you? So the Gemara says, Chatzitza ilam hadik ale be'maya. Chatzitza tepekle mishum dio. So the Gemara says, and on top of that, let's also take even a further step backwards. Let's also consider that even without any consideration of the reed, you have ink on your skin. Meaning right now you have written Shem Hashem on your skin. So that already is the ink. Isn't the ink by itself also going to be chatzitza? So the Gemara says balachem. So the Gemara says, okay, so as far as the ink is concerned, so let's go our steps backwards. So let's first address the issue of the ink. Is the ink going to be a chatzitza? The Gemara says, no, it's not, because the ink in question over here, it hasn't dried on your skin. It's still moist. And the Tanya, we learned in the Mishnah, ahadam v'hadyo hadvash v'achalav yaveshim chotzim lachem ein chotzim. So the Brisa teaches us that when you have either ink or honey or milk and it's dried up on your skin, so then it will in fact be a chatzitza. But lachem, but if it's moist, if it's still in some sort of liquid state, so then ein chotzitzim, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Okay, so that's why the ink is not a chatzitza. Okay, good. So that takes us all the way back to the ink, understanding that the ink is not a chatzitza, but kasha. Okay, but putting the reed on, We haven't addressed that question yet because we right now still don't understand what exactly the reed is doing helping us. If the reed is tied on tightly, it's a chatzitza. And if it's not tied on tightly, so then the water is going underneath. And what did you gain by putting the reed on? So, Ela Amarava Barav Shila Hainu Tamay Derabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do now is rethink all this and give now a new svara behind the sheet of the Chacham. Dikasavi also la'amod bifnei Hashem Aram. So over here, the issue is an issue of not chatzitza. And the issue over here is not mechikas Hashem. The issue over here is that you cannot be standing naked in front of Shem Hashem. It is simply improper to be in a state of being not clothed and at the same time being in the presence of Shem Hashem. And that means to say now that what the Gemara is rethinking is that when it comes to mechikas Hashem, everyone's of the opinion that grama would of course be mutter. If I'm not directly erasing Shem Hashem, but rather it's happening on its own, it's indirect, so then that would be fine according to everybody, both according to the Chachamim and according to Rav Yossi. And the only reason why a gemi is put on is only so that you're not standing naked in front of Shem Hashem. Now the Gemara says, okay, now let's put Rav Yossi, who stands up against that position. Well, what does that mean? Mechlal Rav Yossi suffer motelamo b'fnei Hashem arum? You think Rav Yossi is comfortable with that idea? So according to Rav Yossi, the way you get around the problem is just simply by putting your hand over it in order to cover it. So l'rabbananami demanach chadei lavei. So the Gemara says, so one of the Chachamim suggests the same thing. So zimin demishal b'shakolei. So the Gemara says, well, your hand is on it, but at the same time, however, you're going into the mikvah, and you're making sure you're stepping very carefully into the mikvah, and you may end up forgetting, trying to get your balance, and you're going to take your hand off your skin. So the Gemara says, l'Rav Yossi, nami zimin demishal b'shakolei. Aren't we worried about the same thing, that according to Rav Yossi, you may end up forgetting and removing your hand? So ela idika gemi achinami. So the Gemara finally concedes that if you had a reed, everyone's in agreement, both the Chacham and Rav Yossi, you should put a reed on the area, on where the Shem Hashem is written on your skin. Again, let's just quickly recap. The fact that the ink is not a chatzitz is because the ink is wet. The fact that the name is going to get erased when you go into the mikvah is not a problem because that's grama. Now, the only machlokis, it's really been minimized now, let's go one more step. And if you have something to cover up Shem Hashem when you go to the mikvah, you should cover it up because it is totally improper to stand naked in front of Shem Hashem. Everyone agrees to all of the above. And so now the entire machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chacham and regarding Mechikas Hashem now becomes extraordinarily limited. What are they arguing about? Hachav ha-mayiskinan la'adure agemi. The only issue becomes the following. I don't have a gemi on me right now. And should I either A, just tovel in the mikvah right here, right now, using my hand to cover up Shem Hashem, so that I'm not standing naked in front of Shem Hashem, or should I spend the time right now going after a gemi and getting a gemi, and it may delay me toveling in the mikvah? The Gemara says that, and only that, is the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. Rabbanan Savri, according to the Chachamim, Tehila Bezman Alav Mitzvah, that toveling at the correct time, at the appropriate time, is not an obligation, Umehadrina, and therefore, even though it's going to delay the mikvah, and I may not be toveling today, and I may be toveling at a later point in time, but according to the Chachamim, that's fine. Go get your gemi, even if it's going to cause you a delay in toveling in the mikvah. And Rav Yossi suffered tefillah b'zman mitzvah. On the other hand, Rav Yossi is of the opinion that toveling in the mikvah at the right time is in fact a mitzvah. V'lo mehadrina. Don't spend the time right now going after the gemi. Just cover the Shem Hashem with your hand and tovel in the mikvah right now. And the Gemara says that, and only that, now becomes the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And so now, no longer are we bothered by the discrepancy, the seeming discrepancy between the issues of Mechikas Hashem and that of Gram Kivui. By Gram Kivui, the Machlokas, of course, stands as it is. Rav Yossi is Oster by Gram Kivui, and the Chachamim are Matir by Gram Kivui. And the only issue over here when it comes to the Mechikas Hashem is the idea that, should I delay in order to find a gemi to put it on so I don't stand naked in front of Shem Hashem, or should I not delay? And that is the only point of dispute between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. And the Gemara over here, before we get to the next Mishnah, just simply ties up a loose end. V'savar Rav Yossi tefillah b'zman ha-mitzvah. So now, in order to explain the machlokas, we have Rav Yossi on the side that tefillah b'mitzvah, that going into the mikvah at the right time, at your appointed time, is a mitzvah. And therefore, if you don't have a gemi right now, so put your hand over the area so that you can tovel at the right time. The Tanya, the Gemara says, Vahat Tanya, but haven't we learned in the following Braisa? Hazava, Hazava, Mitzarva, Mitzaraz, Bol, Nidra, Vatame, Meis, Tfilas, Yom. That regarding various people who are Tame, and the list is both a man and a woman who are Zava or Zava, respectively, or a Mitzara or Mitzaraz, who need to talk on the mikvah because they have concluded their Tahara process, or Bol Nida, a man who had relations with a Nida who is also has a specific type of Tuma. He actually has a form of Tumas Nida. Tame Meis, and a person who is a Tame Meis on the seventh day of his Tahara process. So when do they Tovel Tfilas Hamayom? So they Tovel during the daytime. Rashi over here goes through the various sources. Nida Violetis Tfilas Hamalayla. However, when it comes to a Nida, when it comes to a Yoletis, so when they conclude their Tahara process, they Tovel at the nighttime. Valkari Tovel Vaholech Kol Hayom Kulo. The Valkari Tovels the entire day. Rashi over here describes that we're discussing someone who's a Valkari and wants to go ahead and continue learning and davening. So in order for a Balkari to do so, he has to tovel in the mikvah. We discussed this back in Brachos and Daf Chav Dalet, where a Balkari has to tovel in the mikvah in order to learn. This is part of Takanas Ezra. No longer do we have this Takana anymore, but back when they had it, so in order to be able to learn and to daven, so you tovel in the mikvah. And even if that means that it's even after Mincha time. And Rashi over here highlights, and it could even be on Yom Kippur. So the Yom Kippur afternoon, after Mincha, you already daven Mincha, and the man becomes a Balkari. And now, in order for him to continue, he's going to tovel in the mikvah. It's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe yourself. That's right, Rechitza Shel Tanug is going to be usher. But toveling in the mikvah, because according to the Shita of the Tanakama of this Braisa, Tefillah B'Zman is a mitzvah, so you tovel even on Yom Kippur afternoon. And Rav Yossi Omer, Minna Mincha Lamala, Eino Tzarech Litvol. And according to Rav Yossi, if it's from Mincha and onward, there's no requirement. Eino Tzarech, or the other Girsa is Eino Yachol. And Tosfos spent some time over here going over the correct Girsa, but for our purposes right now, let's just say it simply, Rav Yossi says, you can wait, and you can tovel later on. And so that means to say that according to Rav Yossi, it is not an imperative to tovel right away, and the tefillah can be delayed. So the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that in order to explain the machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Yossi, we had to put Rav Yossi on the side of Tefillah B'Zmanas Mitzvah, and meanwhile the Braisa that we just went through seemingly has Rav Yossi on the other side that Tefillah B'Zmanas is not a mitzvah. So the Gemara's response, Ahi Rav Yossi Rav Yehudi Damar Dayad Tefillah B'Achrona. So the Gemara says the Braisa, when quoting Rav Yossi, that's not the classic Rav Yossi, but that's rather Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is in fact of the opinion that tefillah, the toveling in the mikvah at the right time is not imperative. We know this based on a Gemara in Nida, right, Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara over there goes through a very complex scenario in which a woman is not sure what day she needs to tovel in the mikvah. If you remember that Gemara, so there were many, many tefillah days possible. Should she be toveling every possible day? So that was a machlokus over there, but Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda happens to be of the opinion it's not necessary. Just simply get to the final day, and she could do one tefillah on that final day. Clearly, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that tefillah b'zmana is lav mitzvah. The braisa that we just cited is not Rav Yosef, but rather Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And so now, everything works out. Rav Yosef could be of the opinion, of the position that tefillah b'zmana is mitzvah, and the braisa we just cited is Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of our first sugya of the day. And so now, and quick summation, so as far as Mechikas Hashem is concerned, Gram Mechikas Hashem, so the Gemara concludes that according to everybody, it's Mutter. Grama by Mechikas Hashem would be Mutter. And the only considerations over here is, how are you going to cover Shem Hashem that's written on your skin before you go to the mikvah? Should you be covering with a gemi? Everyone says yes. Should I be delaying the tefillah in order to find a gemi? That's the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. Coming all the way around full circle to our discussion regarding Gram Kivui, the causation of Kivui, so that remains the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chacham. The Chacham are Mekel, they're Matir, and Rav Yossi says, no, Gram Kivui by Shabbos would be Aser, and presumably Rav Yossi is predicated on the fact that he, in principle, agrees that Gram is Mutter. It's just you have the consideration that Adam Ba'olam Amono, that once we give allowances for putting out the fire in one way, the person is going to lose himself and put out the fire, not indirectly, but rather directly. And that could be, in fact, the svar behind Rav Yossi. It kind of takes us to the end of our discussion of Gram Kivui. We now are at the Mishnah Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Nachrisha Balachabos. So what happens now? The house is on fire, and along comes a guy. And he thinks to himself, okay, I'll do a good deed. I'll put out the fire. So what are you going to do in terms of giving instructions to the guy? Says the Mishnah, you don't give the guy any instructions. Ein omrim lo kaveh, don't tell him to put out the fire. Ve'al tichbe, don't tell him not to put out the fire. Meaning, if he wants to put it on his own, so he may do so. However, you can't give either instructions, either to the positive of put it out, or to the negative of don't put it out. Now, the reason why is because we have no requirement to stop him from violating Shabbos. In fact, the guy, of course, has no chiyuv whatsoever to observe Shabbos. Can even go a step further. A guy is also to observe Shabbos. But to say as simply as possible, so we are not compelled in any way to try to desist him, to try to stop him from violating Shabbos. If he wants to put out the fire, by all means, you can allow him to put out the fire. You just can't give out instructions in either direction. In contrast to that, however, if you have a katan, Jewish child, who thinks to himself he wants to put out the fire, so at that point in time, you have to stop the katan from doing so. Because here, when it comes to the katan, so we know that even though he's not yet a bar hachi, he's not yet mitzuvah, but at the same time, however, we have to stop him from violating Yisurim. The Gemara is going to discuss this in more detail regarding stopping him from violating Yisurim. Let's start first with the guy. So as far as the guy is concerned, no instructions can be given. If you were to give the guy instructions, what would that be a violation of? That's what's called Amir Lanachri, Amir Lakum. Then you are instructing a guy to do something for you on Shabbos, and that is going to be Aser. Over the courses of today's daf and tomorrow's daf, here in Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Aleph and Kuf Chaf Beis, so the Gemara discusses Amir Lanachri. Tomorrow the Gemara is going to be discussing it in much greater detail. However, Rashi right here on the Mishnah, take a look at Rashi inside, in Omrim Lukaveh, Rabbanan Gazar al Amir Lanachri Mishum Shavus. In Isra de Rabbanan, that the Chachamim instituted within Shabbos, is that to instruct a goy to do a malacha for you, is an Isser de Rabbanan. Rashi over here does not explain why it is Asr Mid Rabbanan, but Rashi over here just simply puts that it's Asr Mid Rabbanan to instruct a goy to do malacha for you. Amir Lanachri. What are the reasons why the Chachamim banned such an activity? So the Rishonim throughout Shas discuss briefly, but there are let's break it down to three basic ideas. First we'll start with the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam in front of me. I am paraphrasing. The Rambam writes that the reason why the Chachamim prohibited Amir La'akum is because if we get comfortable with the idea that every time we want a malacha done for us, we're just simply going to ask a guy. So what's going to end up happening is that Shabbos is going to seem kal be'einenu. It's going to seem light in our eyes. The fact that we could just simply circumnavigate the laws of Shabbos by simply asking a guy to do so. So where the chashivas of Shabbos is going to lose its importance. And so we're just simply going to have a much lighter feel about Shabbos. We won't feel Shabbos. So that's the Rambam explaining why it is that that Amir La'akum is going to be Aser. On the other hand, you have a couple of Rashis throughout Shas. You can see already right here in our Rashi, it sends us to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger sends us to the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Avodah Zarah is Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rashi over there writes that the reason why Amir La'akum is going to be Aser is because the Torah says V'daber Daver, that on Shabbos, our speech on Shabbos has to be different during the week. And part of the speech being different on Shabbos is not giving instructions on Shabbos to a guy to do malacha. So that is the Rashi in Avodah Zarah. And there is a third idea, which actually Rashi himself elsewhere expresses, and that is the idea that if I ask a guy to do something for me on Shabbos, so that's a form of shlichus. Meaning if I'm asking you to do something, it's kind of like agency. Now, the idea of using shlichus in this context is a little bit challenging, because in shlichus var avera, there's no shlichus when it comes to violating an avera. On top of that, we generally also say that there's no shlichus by a guy. So using the shlichus concept as it relates to Amir La'akum is kind of like a borrowed idea, We're not using the terminology over here in the most accurate way of describing shlichus, but still, he's basically asking, he's acting on my behalf, and so it's an agency of me, and so therefore that's why Amir Lakum is going to be also. That's a third possible way to say it. Any which way you say it, and there may be differences in terms of what exactly is the root cause of Amir Lakum being Asr. But in the meantime, however, Amir La'akum is going to be Asr, and that's why you cannot give instructions to a guy to put out the fire for you. Start with the Gemara. The Gemara begins, Amr Rabbi Amma B'Deleika Hitir La'amar. So if your house is on fire, you have the following allowance. Here's what you can say. Kol HaMechaba Eino Mafsid. Anyone who puts out the fire is not going to lose. So in other words, you put it out there that anyone over here, and we're going to put in parentheses, anyone who's allowed to, anyone who wants to put out the fire certainly may do so, and you have nothing to lose in doing so, which is basically a hint of saying, and I'll reimburse the person who does so, I'll reward the person who does so. So this is the statement of Rabbi Ami. So this is what you can say. An ambiguous comment, but basically a hint, an allegation, that that putting out the fire will be beneficial to you. But again, the you over here meaning someone who is not bound by Shabbos. A guy. So name him a sailei, nachrisha balachabas, in orim lo kave, al tichbe, meim neishen shvisa so aleim. So now let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's read our Mishnah carefully. Because our Mishnah says that if a guy comes to put out your fire, you can give him no instructions. You can't say kave, and you can't say lo sichbe. Now the Gemara says, let's focus for a moment on what the Mishnah says you cannot say. You cannot say the word kave. And the Gemara here now tries to make a diuk. Kave hu de lo aminale. So you can't give him the positive instruction of, hey, please put out the fire. But hakol mechabe no mafsid aminale. But the subtler, more passive way of anyone who puts out the fire is not going to lose. So presumably the Mishnah is comfortable with that. So the Gemara says, ema seifa. But the Gemara says, I don't know. Because look at the next line of the Mishnah. Al tichbe lo aminale. You're also not allowed to tell the guy, hey, don't put it out. V'chol hamechabe no mafsid nami lo aminale. So if you're not allowed to give any instruction, so you're included in that is that you're also not allowed to say of kol hamechabe no mafsid. So presumably from the Mishnah we can make a diuk in either direction. So ela mehalek ela mishma mina. So the Gemara says, so from the Mishnah and the language of the Mishnah, we do not have a definitive diuk in terms of whether or not this language Rabbi Ami is in fact acceptable. Tosfos over here writes, Mikom Akom, Tosus Divra Masla Ella Mahalek Ella Mishma Mina Mikom Akom Kaimalan Kerabi Ami. So Tosus says that we do accept this, the ruling of Rabbi Ami. Yerushalmi Amr Shas Rabbi Ami Maisa Kazeh. In fact, Yerushalmi brings down that an incident happened and Rabbi Ami, La Maisa in practice, actually used this language of Kol Hamechabe Eino Mafsid. So you are allowed to make this passive statement where you are alluding, you're hinting to the idea that you can, a guy, it would be advantageous to him, it would be beneficial to him to put out the fire. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara continues, Maisav Anafla Deleika B'Chatzir Shol Yosef Ben Simai. A fire broke out in the Chatzir of Rav Yosef Ben Simai, B'Sichon, in the town of Sichon, O'Valan She'Gistar Shol Tipor L'Chabos, Mimnesha Apitrop Shol Melachayam. So, and the fire department came out, and they wanted to put out the fire, because it happens to have been that Yosef ben Simai was an apotropos, he was some sort of custodian, he was some sort of appointee of the king. However, Rav Yosef ben Simai said, no, you know what? He's talking to the non-Jewish fire department, no need to put it out. Today's Shabbos, it's okay. A miracle occurred, it started raining, and the rain put out the fire. La'erev shiga l'chol echad mehem shtei salayim. Ulafarcha Shabahem Chamishim. That night after Shabbos. So what did he do? He rewarded the entire fire department. So every member of the fire department, he gave them Shtei Salayim, and for the captain, he gave him 50 Salayim. Okay, so in other words, they came out to put out the fire. He told them not to do it, but he wanted to make sure that they got rewarded. Ukishashamu Chachamim Adavar Amaru Lo Hayat Sarach Lekach. Now, the matter came in front of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim said that was unnecessary. Because it goes against the Beferish Mishnah. Our Mishnah has told us very clearly that if a non-Jew comes and puts and wants to put out the fire, so you can allow him to do so. In fact, you do allow him to do so. You don't give instruction. You don't tell him to put it out. You don't tell him not to put it out. But if they want to put it out, by all means, they are allowed to put it out. So it's really interesting because obviously over here he's taking a very stringent position, and the Chachamim said it was too stringent. It wasn't necessary because that's not the halacha. And what also is interesting is that a nace came about on his behalf, despite the fact that he wasn't following the halacha properly, meaning he was being machmir on himself, and nevertheless a nace occurred. So are chumras acceptable? So the answer is not. The answer must not be a simple yes or no. It must be depends. And this is a circumstance where clearly he got divine approval for the chumra that he took upon himself, even though the Chachamim told him outright that was a chumra and that was unnecessary. Now we go to the issue of the katan. Katan wants to put out the fire, so you don't allow him to do so because you have to make sure that he is being a Shomer Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Are we talking about chinuch over here? So let's assume right now that chinuch is not the issue. And in just a moment, I'll bring down a source regarding chinuch on this topic. But in the meantime, however, what is the issue? Meaning, let's assume right now that this child is not your child. He's not your son or not your daughter. So over here, what is the issue? The issue is an issue that's discussed in Yevamos, and that is katan ochel nevelos. If you see a minor eating treif, so Bezdin Mitzuvin Alav Lahafrisho, is Bezdin required to go ahead and remove the treif from him? So is there a general obligation on all adult Jewish males and females where they must stop a child from violating an Isser? Now again, the child himself is not yet a Bar Hachi, he's not yet Mechuyev B'davar. There's no Avera per se for a child to do so. Is there an obligation on the adult population to stop the child from doing an Avera? This is a basic machlokus that occurs towards the end of Mesechus Yevamos. Our Mishnah seems to be taking a very strong position on this matter. Because our Mishnah says that if you see a child who's about to put out a fire, you got to stop him from doing so. Our Mishnah seems to weigh in on this topic, and our Mishnah seems to clearly conclude that based on Mitzvah L'Hafrisho. And so what the Gemara is going to ask is, why is it a debated issue when you have our Mishnah? So Shamas may not cut an ochel nevelos based on Mitzvah L'Hafrisho. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So isn't our Mishnah now conclusive? I'm Rav Yochanan b'katan osel l'das aviv. So the Gemara says no, because it could very well be that our Mishnah is talking about a very specific case, and that is that we're talking about a minor who is doing it l'das aviv. He's doing it because he knows that his father wants to put it out, and so therefore he's doing it on behalf of his father, and so as a result of that, so you're stopping him from doing it because it's really he's really serving as an agent of the father, and that's why you have to stop him from doing so. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the Mishnayos have to be running parallel, meaning if that's the case regarding the child, isn't that also the case regarding the Nachri? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Let me just read the question again. So would the same thing be sure by a non-Jew? So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same, because Nachri ledate de nashe ave. When the non-Jew is putting out the fire, he's doing so for himself. For himself. Now, what that seemingly means is that he knows that there is going to be some reward in putting out the fire. He's expecting some reward. Or perhaps when it comes to the adult, he just simply knows that there's some sort of internal value of putting out the fire. So it could very well be that when it comes to the Nachri, when he puts out the fire, he's doing so because it is of value to him himself. However, when the child puts it out, and he's doing so as an agency of the father, so then the child is putting it out, not because he wants to put it out, but he knows that his father wants to put it out, and that's why you have to stop the child from putting it out. So, our Mishnah is not really weighing in on the topic of katan ochel nevelos. Katan ochel nevelos, if the child is eating nevela, so he's not doing it as agency for anybody else, he's doing it because he wants to eat nevela. He doesn't know any better. So under those circumstances, so maybe, in other words, that's why it's a machlokus, maybe you don't have to stop him from doing so, but our Mishnah is not weighing into that issue. Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud brings in the issue of chinuch. Is there a consideration of chinuch as well? Meaning the topic that we discuss is based in Mitzvah L'Hafrisho. Is there a general obligation on the adult population to stop children from violating Yisurim? That's the issue of Yevamos. What about Chinuch? So Tosfos over here writes, so you could skip a little bit in Tosfos. The Venira, in Tosfos, Dibra Amas Choshmamina, it is the third wide line. Venira Demari Bekan Shalo Yigil HaChinuch. So it seemingly, Tosfos says, our Mishnah and our Gemara's discussion is only regarding a child who is really young, who is not yet somebody who is of age of the Chinuch. The Yigil HaChinuch, because once you arrive at the age of Chinuch, Kevin Shechayev LeChanchol, Kol Shekin Tzarech La'afri Sho, Shalo Yase Aveira. So once he's at the age of Chinuch, so then there's no question, there's no discussion. For sure, you have to stop the child from putting out the fire, which kind of makes then the Mishnah sound a little bit strange. Meaning, the child right now who wants to put out the fire is 5 years of age, 6 years of age. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, so there is not one absolute number in order to guideline us in terms of what the age of chinuch is. It really depends on cognitive level of the child. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about not only is it dependent on the cognitive level of the child, but it's also dependent on the mitzvah under discussion. Certain mitzvahs require more cognitive ability and therefore are not going to kick in until later into his later childhood years. Anyway, but just in terms of understanding the Tosfos's point from the conceptual, before chinuch is the entire discussion of a Gemara, but post chinuch, once the child has arrived at the age of chinuch, then there's no question about it that the father has to stop the child from putting out the fire. So says Tosfos over here. So our Mishnah's discussion, our Gemara's discussion, is a child who has not yet arrived at the age of chinuch, according to the Shita of Tosfos. We continue now in the Gemara. We're in the Mishnah, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, Kofin Ka'ara Agave Haner B'Shul Shalot Ha'achos B'Korah. So one could take a bowl, invert it over the fire, so that the beams of the house are not going to catch the fire. Meaning you see that the fire is spreading, and so what you want to do is impede its progress, so you're going to put a bowl over. Rashi over here, make sure that we remember. If you're putting the bowl over the fire in order, and the fire for sure is going to go out, so that beyond a question is going to be prohibited. That's kivui. So what you're doing is somehow you're inverting a bowl over, but there's still some oxygen. It could still, the fire could still be fed. It just happens to be that you're going to impede its progress. And you could do so in order so that the house does not catch fire. And also a bowl could be put on over excrement. Now, in terms of the understanding of the Mishnah, let's wait for the Gemara, because we're going to be discussing the excrement of what? And it sounds like so a shalkatan. It sounds like the excrement of a child. Stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Also, scorpions in your house, and you want to put the bowl over the scorpion. Even though that's an act of tzeda, you are trapping the scorpion, but at the same time, however, you're preventing somebody from being bitten. You're allowed to do that, says the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Balef, Nei Rabbi Yochem and Zaka, Be'arev. There was an incident with Rabbi Yochem and Zaka in the town of Arev, where they inverted the bowl over the scorpion. Va'amar, Rabbi Yehuda's comment, Choshashni lo mechatas. Maybe you have to bring a carbon chatas. You may have to bring a carbon chatas. Rashi explains on the very bottom, the last Rashi on the Amud. Kevin Dolayak or Avratza Charav, scorpion's not chasing you. Aina Yodeim Chayv Mishum Seda Imlo, Vechoshashni Lomar Chayv Chatasu. So this very well may be an Isser Doraisa if the scorpion's not chasing you. Now remember, this is Rav Yehuda Lishita So, because Rav Yehuda is of the position that a Malachash Ein Tzrich Lagufa is Chayav. And even though you're trapping the scorpion, not because you want the scorpion, you're trapping the scorpion just simply so that the scorpion doesn't go any further or doesn't advance. That's not Seda Legufo. That is a Malacha She'ena Tzrich Legufa. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda throughout our entire Masechta has said repeatedly, a Malacha She'ena Tzrich Legufa is going to be Chayev. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if your life is not in danger, so then the act of trapping over here may in fact be a Malacha Daraisa. Okay. We start off the Gemara's discussion with a story, but really, where the story is going to take us to is a better understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Rav Chana bar Rava iklu lebei avin demin nishkaya. So these Amoraim went to the house of Avin, who came from this particular town. Now, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, aisu lehu per yasal, Rav Chana bar Rava lo aisu lei. And so the story starts off a little bit awkward, because as Rav now is inviting these three Amoraim into his house, For two of them, he gives beds, comfortable beds to sit on, lie down on. And for one of the Amorim, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, I'm sorry. And for one of the Amorim, Rav Chanan bar Rava, he did not give a bed for him to sit down on. And okay, it definitely starts off extraordinarily awkward, the story. And perhaps he felt that Rav Chanan bar Rava was not on the level, on the stature as these other two Amorim. And you can easily imagine that Chanan bar Rava was offended. So it's not that hard to figure out. And Isolei Ashkechei, Lo Isolei. Ashkechei Masni Lelebrei. Now, as they're sitting in the house, or I should say better, as two of the Amorim are sitting comfortably in the house, and Chanan bar Rava is not sitting comfortably in the house, but as they're there in the house, so they see that Avin is learning with his son. And he teaches them a Mishnah. Now, not just any Mishnah, but of course our Mishnah. That's why the story is inserted over here. Al Tzoa Shel Katan Mibnei Katan. And the Mishnah says that the Tzoa Shel Katan Mibnei Katan, that one is allowed to invert a bowl over the excrement of a katan because of another katan, meaning he doesn't want the katan touching the excrement. Now, what he's doing is he's not just simply saying over the Mishnah, but what he's doing is he's saying pshat in the Mishnah, because he understands that the Tzoa, the excrement over here, was actually being excreted by a katan, and the reason why you want to cover it up is so that the katan doesn't play with it. Fine. That's the way he understands the Mishnah. Amrlei Avin, now he says to him, he over here is Rav Chanan, who was not afforded a seat at the table, not given the comfortable couch. Now you can imagine already, he is not in the best of moods. And so his response over here is going to be very sharp. And certainly, look, we're all human, and you can understand that he was offended, and so not only is he ready to correct Avin, but he's ready to do so in a rather sharp fashion. Shatya Masnia Shatusa Levne. So this, let's just say it. So this imbecile is teaching his child really silly ways to understand the Mishnah. Meaning, this is just not the pshat in the Mishnah. V'alohi atzma muchenes l'klavim. Meaning, that when the child produces waste, so that waste is not going to be muksa. In fact, what the excrement can be used for is to be used for dogs. Over the course of this masechta, we learned that dogs have a really interesting diet. Dogs are consuming blood. We saw that earlier. And now we're talking about dogs consuming human excrement. So admittedly, it's a different world. I don't think our dogs are trained in these kinds of diets. It doesn't matter. In other words, from the Gemara's perspective, so you could take the excrement that's excreted by a child and use it for the dog, and it's not going to be an issue of muksa. V'chitem, and there's no need to invert a kli over it. V'chitem adol chazil eme esmal. Now, I know what you're ready to argue. You're ready to argue nolad, meaning even if the dog does in fact consume human excrement, but the human excrement only came on Shabbos, and isn't this an issue of nolad? And so here, Rav Chanan is ready to argue it's not an issue of nolad as well. V'atanya, we learned in a braisa. Naharos amoshkim mayanos anovim harein karagli kol adam. The Mishnah basically tells us that when you have streams that are flowing, so they're never kone imakum shvisa. That means to say that because they're in constant motion, and you know they are moving from one location to another, so they are not fixed, they are not stationary, and they do not have a fixed spot on Yontav. The issue of Tchum is an issue both on Shabbos and on Yontav as well. We'll be spending a lot of time in Masechta Beitza talking about Tchum, because even though you're allowed to carry on Yontav, but Tchum is as much a problem on Yontav as it is on Shabbos. And so therefore, when rivers are flowing, so when I take from the water on the river, so aren't I violating Tchum because this water before Yontav started certainly more than 2,000 amas away? So isn't it a problem of Tchum? So the answer is no, it's not. Since the river is in constant motion, so there never is an opportunity for it to attain a Makom Shvisa. And with the parallel over here, the idea is that since you know it's coming, so therefore it is not a function of Nolad. It's not going to be an issue of Nolad. Over here as well, since you know that the child is going to excrete on Shabbos, because that's the way life works, so therefore, it is not going to be a violation of Nolad as well. Ve'ela hechi asneya. So now Rav Avin says, okay, so fine. So you want to correct me? That's fine. How should I learn the Mishnah? So ema asor shel tarnagolim mimnei katan. So the way to learn the Mishnah is that the excrement over here is being excreted by a chicken. And the chicken excrement, that in fact is going to be muksa. It has no usages on Shabbos. The dogs, again, we have to assume the Gemara's diet when it comes to what a dog eats and what a dog does not, or what a dog doesn't eat. So in terms of the Tzoros Shel Tarnagolin, it is muksa legamre, and that now needs to be covered so that the child doesn't get his hands on it. So the Gemara says, okay, but we've discussed already a couple times in our Masechta the idea of Graf Shel Re'i, meaning that the Chachamim waived the Isser of Muksa, so that if there's something that's foul-smelling in your house, so you're allowed to pick it up and take it out of your house. This is Graf Shel Re'i. You can take out the garbage on Shabbos. And over here, Graf Shel Re'i, this is literally what Graf Shel Re'i was designed for, to take the excrement out of your house. Why are you inverting a bowl over it? And maybe you have in your head some distinction of, oh, you can take the excrement out only if it's in a kli, but you can't actually take it out in of itself. The Gemara says, but that's not true. V'ahu achbar, dishtakech, bisparmake, derab ashi, v'amar lehu, nekuka b'tzitzitza v'afkua. There was a mouse, a dead mouse, found in the spices. And that is another example of Graf Shel Re'i. It's disgusting. It's really going to disturb your Shabbos to have the mouse, the dead mouse, just sitting around. And it's right now in the spices. So what you could pick it up, you could do is pick it up from the tail. So you're picking up the actual, in this case, the dead mouse, the dead rat. You could pick it up in order to take it out. So there is no distinction by Graf Shel Re'i whether you're handling it directly, indirectly. You're allowed to take out the Graf Shel Re'i. So where exactly is this Tzoros Shel Tarnagolim where I need to invert a bowl over it? Shouldn't I just be able to take it out of the house? So the Gemara says, Ba'ashva. So the Gemara says, well, the Graf Shel Re'i already was found in the garbage dump. So the Gemara says, V'kan Ba'ashva, my Ba'ile. So the Gemara says, okay, but the child is not there at the Ashva. So the Gemara says, B'chatzer. So the Gemara says, no, okay, fine. So maybe the chicken excrement is in the courtyard. Chatzer Nami, Graf Shel Re'ihu. What do you mean? That's part of your living space. The courtyard is where you live as well. If you have something something of foul odor in the chatzer, so again, you have the heter of Graf Shel Re'i. You pick it up, you take it out. So the Gemara says, Be'ashpa shebechatzer. In the chatzer, you have an area designated for trash. So that's the ashpa shebechatzer. So on one hand, it is in your courtyard. On the other hand, an area designated for trash. So it's possible now that you're going to find excrement over there. It's also possible that you're going to find your child over there as well. That's why under those circumstances, because the chicken excrement is totally muksa, there's nothing you can do with it on Shabbos. So, at the same time, you don't want your child touching it, so you invert a bowl over it. That, he says, is the correct shot of our Mishnah. Admittedly, a funny story to get us to that correct shot, but that's a correct shot of the Mishnah. From here until the end of the daf today, we discuss what you can do in order to save yourself from any kind of insect that is going to bite you. Now, there obviously are gradations in terms of what happens when they bite you. It could be a snake or a scorpion, where the bite could be deadly. Or we could be talking about a bee, where the bite's just simply going to be painful. So, obviously, in our discussion over here, that distinction needs to be drawn out. But in the meantime, we're going to be discussing it somewhat basically right now. And then later, maybe we'll make some distinctions. Al akrash lo tishach, you can take a bowl, invert it over a scorpion so that it doesn't bite you. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha-mazik ne'haragim b'Shabbos. We start with a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that anything that's going to damage you, so you can kill it on Shabbos. Mesav Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef challenges with a braisa. Chamisha ne'haragim b'Shabbos ve'eluhein. There are five and only five different types of insects, snakes, scorpions that you can kill. Eluhein zvuv shebaretz Mitzrayim. So these were apparently bugs, snakes that were lethal. The Zvuv of Eretz Mitzrayim, the Tzira Shebi Yavne, Tzira Shebi Ninve, some sort of wasp of Ninve, Akrav Shebi Chadayav, scorpion local to Chadayav, and Nachash of Eretz Yisrael, Kelav Shota B'chol Makom, a snake of Eretz Yisrael, and a wild dog in any location. So that means to say now that the Braisa is limiting your ability to kill only to these five animals, and not like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi reports, that you can kill anything which is going to be mazik. So mani elam Rabbi Yehuda amar malach hashem tzrich legufa chayav alah. So the Gemara says, now who's the author of this brisa? Is it Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says, malach hashem tzrich legufa, you're going to be chayav. Meaning, even though you're killing it, not because you want it, You're killing it just simply so that it doesn't attack you. That's malach hashem tzrich lagufa. But nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayiv. El alav Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, giving some allowance, but the Gemara says, Hani hu deshari achrin alav. But only these five and no others. So the Gemara says, so now again, it poses a problem to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because he opened up the discussion saying that you can kill any animal that is serving as a mazik to you. I'm Rav Yirmiya, uman ne'malan daha mitarastihi dimma mishabeshtihi. So Rav Yirmiya says, look, the Brisa, we have to go back and revisit the Brisa. You think the Brisa is good? You think it's not corrupted? Maybe the Brisa is corrupted? So I'm Rav Yosef, ana masisan la, osibna la, v'ana mitaritsna la. Rav Yosef says, I went over this Brisa. I was bothered by the Brisa. I answer the Brisa. Biratsu acharav v'divrei akol. The Brisa over here is dealing with where it's clear that you are being attacked. Under those circumstances, you certainly have the right to now kill it if you know that it is attacking you. If you see that it's attacking you, then you're allowed to kill it. That could be the pshat in the Brisa. And then the Brisa is not necessarily going against Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, meaning because the Brisa could be going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Malach HaShem Tzrich LaGufa is going to still be Aser. Yeah, but if he's attacking you, if any of these animals are attacking you, so then you have the right to defend yourself on Shabbos. Tini Tana Kama de Rava Barav Huna Hahorig Nechashav Akram V'Shabbos in Ruch Hasidim Noche Himenu. A Brisa was told over in front of Rava Barav Huna. Somebody kills a snake or a scorpion on Shabbos, the Hasidim are not happy with you. Amar Lei, to that, Rava had a comment on the Brisa. V'Osan Hasidim in Ruch Hachamim Noche Mehem. So those Hasidim, so the Chachamim are not happy with them. Meaning a snake or a scorpion that poses a threat to your life, and the Hasidim say, don't kill him. So the Chachamim say, no, just the opposite. You kill these animals that can pose a threat to you. Upligi de Rav Huna chazi alu gavrtika kato zibura, and Rav Huna is in disagreement because Rav Huna saw a person killing a wasp. Amalei shalmit lekulu, and Rav Huna says to the individual, did you get them all? He was asking sarcastically, meaning you're not going to be able to kill all the wasps. Granted that this wasp right now is posing some sort of threat to you. Obviously, over here in this discussion, the wasp in question over here is not a lethal threat. And so what are you going to do? You're going to kill this wasp, and meanwhile, there's no way you're going to get them all. And obviously, Rav Huna was not happy over the fact that a wasp was killed. So the question, the general question of, can one kill a stinging insect on Shabbos? So clearly, the Amoraim are arguing over this very point. Tan Rabbanan is Dan Malin Khashim Bakravim, Hargan Biyadush Ishin is Damulo, Lehargan, Lo Hargan Biyadush is Damulo Hargov, and Asla Nesman Ashamayim. Mark quotes another Brisa. Let's say a snake or a scorpion crossed your path, and you happen to have killed it, so that means to say that it was brought in front of you so that you can kill it. Meaning that was the Hashkacha. However, if you didn't end up killing it, so then, that means to say that it, the snake or the scorpion in this case, was actually, by Hashkacha, meant to kill you, but an ace occurred, and now you have an opportunity to bench Gomo. Amru Ula v'item Rava Barav Chana Amrav Yochanan b'nishopin bo. So Ula says, on this Brisa, that's only when the snake or scorpion is hissing at you. At that point in time, if you end up killing it, the Hashkacha demanded it. If you did not end up killing it, the Hashkacha saved you, but only Al Yidei Neis. I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Pamachas Nafal Echad Bebeis HaMedrash V'Amad Niyus De'Echad V'Hargo. So there was a snake falling into the base Medrash, and somebody gets up and kills it. I'm Rabbi Pagabo Kayotzebo. Now Rabbi made a cryptic statement, and he said, the person who killed it, Kayotzebo, similar to the snake itself. He meant that as a compliment. He meant that as an insult. Ibailuhu. Pagabo kayosebo de shapir avid. Meaning, was Rebbe giving a compliment and saying that was a good job? Oh, lo. Or maybe not. Tashma de Rebbe Abba Bereh de Rebbe Chia Bar Abba v'Rebbe Zera Haba Yatfei. Akila de Be Reb Yanai. So you had these Amoraim who were at the porch of Reb Yanai. Nafak milsam ibanayu ba'minei me Reb Yanai. And the following question was asked. Ma'o la'arug nechashem v'akrabim b'Shabbos. Our discussion. Can one kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? Amlu Tsirani Areg, Nachash Vakar of Lokoshakin. He says, I'd kill a wasp. Snakes and scorpions goes without saying. Their bites are more painful and perhaps even deadly. Dilma Lafitoma. The Gemara says, yeah, but maybe over there, his allowances to kill wasps, scorpions, snakes is lefi tumah. And what does that mean? So let's just read a little bit more Gemara and we'll understand. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Rok Dorso lefi tumah. If let's say there's spit on the ground and you're walking, you don't have to change the course of your gait, of your path. You could just walk, even though you're stepping over the spit. The Amr of Sheshes Nachash Dorso lefi tumah. The same thing is true with a snake. You just simply walk over the snake, meaning if you're walking in that direction anyway, you don't have to change your course of path. You can just simply continue walking. Vamra of Ketina. Akrav Dorso lefi tumah. Same thing is true regarding a scorpion as well. And this idea of lefi tumah is that as long as you are walking, and as long as this is the plan, is the path that you planned on going on, so then you do not need to deviate in order to avoid these items. Now, as far as the spit is concerned, so Rashi over here says that by rubbing the spit into the ground, so you may be involved in the act of leveling the ground. But again, you're doing it lefi tumah, and therefore it's going to be mutter, and the same thing is true regarding the killing of these snakes and scorpions and bugs. You don't have to change your gait. Now, Rashi over here writes, now what makes lefi tumah a legitimate heter? Rashi, third line from the bottom, eladorcho v'holech, v'im meith b'drichaso yamos. Now, if it happens to be that as the bug is getting, or a snake or scorpion is getting squashed under your foot, that's fine. Hovelo miskavein. Rashi describes it as the davar she'ein miskavein, the davar she'ein miskavein, l'Rav Yehuda midrabanan hu, u'le'ingin mazikan lo gazer. And even Rav Yehuda Shita, who generally is more machmer by davar she'ein miskavein, but still the isser is only nisa derabanan, and for those animals that are going to be a mazik towards you, so then Rabbi Yehuda would be matir legamre. So the Gemara now minimizes the heter of killing the snake or scorpion. Again, if it's coming to attack you, so that already, we saw a heter at the beginning of the discussion. But if it's not coming to attack you, but you happen to have been walking, and you see now it's going to get crushed under your foot, you don't have to deviate. This is the heter of lefi tumah. And we do, let's just do a little bit more for this morning. Abba Marmarta Duhu Abba Bar Minyuma have a maske bay, the bay Reish Galusa Zuza. Gemara tells a story with Abba Marmarta who owed the Reish Galusa money. Aisua Kamitsara Le. And so they brought him in order to pressure him. So Havishade Ruka, Amarlu Reish Galusa, Aisa Mana, Sechifa Ilava. And there was some spit on the ground, and the Reish Galusa gave instructions to take a kli and put it over there. Amarlu Lot Srichisu. So hachi, and at the time the Abba Bar Marta was being pressured, exactly what was happening to him is not clear, but he happened to have said, look, it's, you know, despite the fact that the Shabbos, you don't have to put anything over it. You could step on it. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rok Dorso lefi tumah, and he quotes the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that if there's spit on the ground and you're walking over it, but you're doing so innocently, that's fine. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Mirabanan hu shavkua. And they realized that he was a Talmid Chacham, and so they stopped pressuring him. Whatever pressure they put on him, they stopped doing so because he said over this halacha of lefi tumah. Let's quickly recap our daf. We started off this morning by going over the issue of gram mechikas Hashem, where the person has Hashem Hashem written on him, and he goes into the mikvah. And does he need to erase? Should he be concerned about erasing Hashem Hashem? And so it's when he goes into the mikvah, it's only done b'derech grama. So we learned together that it's machlokas, but really we significantly limited the machlokas, meaning grama by mechikas Hashem is mutter, and the only issue is that should he be covering it up when going into the mikvah because it's just not appropriate to be naked in front of Shem Hashem. And of course the answer is yes, you should be covering it up, but should you be delaying your tefillah in the mikvah in order to find a gem in order to cover it up? That's the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. And it is dependent on whether or not tefillah ben mizmana is a mitzvah, or if tefillah ben mizmana is not a mitzvah. We then went to the Mishnah Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where we discussed the basic issue of Amir La'akum. The Mishnah says that your house is on fire, the Nachri comes and he wants to put out the fire, you allow him to do so, you give no instructions. You don't tell him to put out the fire, you don't tell him not to put out the fire. You are not bound to have him keep Shabbos. In fact, just the opposite. There is no Shabbos by him. Child, on the other hand, you have to stop him from doing so. The Gemara spent some time discussing what happens if you, let's say you don't give instructions, but you give out the following, you offer the following. Kol mechabe inu mafsid. Anyone who wants to put out the fire is not going to lose. So are you allowed to make such a statement? Rabbi Ami says, yes, the Gemara. came out inconclusive on this matter, but Tosfos says, but we do accept Rabbi Ami, you're allowed to make such a statement. We learned about a particular Tana who was machmer and himself actually stopped the fire department from putting out the fire. Again, there was no loss of life. I know I've said this already numerous times, but it's worthwhile to repeat. Once there's a sakanas nefesh, obviously you put out the fire yourself if you need to in order to preserve, in order to save somebody's life. We're talking about nobody's life was in jeopardy. So one particular Tana did not stop the fire department from putting out the fire. And min hashamayim, he was rewarded. The rain came down and put out the fire. But afterwards, the Chachamim said that was unnecessary. Because we learned in our Mishnah clearly that if somebody, wants to put out the fire, you don't stop him from putting out the fire. We discussed briefly on the Amud Aleph, if the miner puts out the fire, the Kohen puts out the fire, you have to stop him from doing so. Is this weighing in on the topic of Katan Ochel Nevelos? The Gemara says not necessarily. And finally, our last discussion was based on the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chafal from Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah talks about inverting a bowl over a fire so it doesn't spread, over the excrement so the child doesn't play with it, over the scorpion so it doesn't sting you. So the Gemara discussed two of these issues of the Mishnah. One, when we're inverting the bowl over the excrement, which excrement generated by the child? So the Gemara says, no, that's not the right shot. The ripe shot in the Mishnah is excrement that came out of a chicken, which is muksa. It has no usages on Shabbos. And finally, our last discussion was whether or not one can kill any insects, scorpions, snakes that come and either pose a threat to you or outright attack you. So if they attack you, so then you can kill it. If it poses a threat to you, so a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, various Amoraim have different opinions on this matter in terms of whether or not you may kill an insect that could threaten you and could sting you. If it's a sakanas nefesh, so then obviously you can kill it, but if it's not, and you only are looking to suffer some pain, so can you kill under those circumstances? The Amoraim debate this very issue, and that took us to the end of the daf.